heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again as we launch into yet another episode of the Rediscover Hour. We're all about rediscovering new life and following Jesus, new life within the midst of His Church, new life that He has come to give us. And it is a brilliant time of the year to be focusing on that, especially as we do see the leaves start to fall from the trees. And we even got a little taste of winter here recently, didn't we? I hate to bring it up, but yes, we did see a few flakes in the air. Just a good reminder that when we're heading into the cold and the dark seasons, that Jesus is always there to give us new life. And we are heading in also to the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time this weekend, which is means we're getting there. We're getting right along through the liturgical year as well. Lots of wonderful things coming up this Sunday in terms of the readings, specifically the gospel, again, from Luke chapter 18. It's the parable, probably not one of the more well-known parables, but the parable of the judge and the widow. And this is just a quick recap. So the judge is the one who says, you know what, I don't fear God, I don't respect any human being, but this widow keeps coming to him demanding a just judgment for her. And so he eventually, through her perseverance, he says, all right, you know, all right, fine. I don't, as I said, he doesn't fear God, he doesn't respect any human being, but he wants to, I think, get rid of the widow. Now, this is one of those illustrations, again, where Jesus is using just even what motivates us as human beings, not necessarily as his disciples. I mean, obviously, if this judge doesn't fear God, he's not a disciple, right? But it's something that motivates him, even in the natural order of things, to say, I have to respond to this. If for no other reason is because, you know, she's bugging me. So I gotta do something. I gotta say something so that this widow stops bugging me. And so Jesus uses that to say, look, if the children of this world are this way, then how do you think God will be when you persevere in prayer? In fact, this is very interesting. I think every once in a while we see the evangelist's hand in helping us to understand what's coming in the lesson. And here we see St. Luke's hand, because he says early on, it starts with Jesus told his disciples a parable, and then St. Luke kind of adds his own commentary here. He says, about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. Now, that's an interesting little commentary there, and some of the things that it brings to mind, well, it brings to mind for me the Garden of Gethsemane, where Peter, James, and John did become weary as the Lord was on the midst of, or just about to enter into the midst of his passion and his death. But anyway, so St. Luke has already offered some exegesis, if you will, of this passage and telling us what it's all about. And really what it comes down to, and one of the things at least that we can draw from this passage, is that perseverance is a necessary component of faith. Perseverance is a necessary component of faith. What do I mean by that? Well, what do I not mean by that? One of the things I don't mean by that is that we will never fall. We will never stumble. Of course we will. We're human beings. We're fallen. We've got that in just the way that we live in this world, right? We will fall. We will stumble. But perseverance implies that we will, again, strive to, with the help of God, of course, we'll lean on Him, but cooperate with Him once again, and to stand up and begin the journey from where we fell, from where we stumbled, right? Perseverance is a necessary component of faith. But how do we maintain? Because we do grow weary. We are human beings created with limitations, and those are God-given limitations. Even before the fall, we see as we read Genesis 1 and 2 that human beings are Yeah, we're limited creatures. Necessarily, we are creatures. We are not the creator, but we are created to live in relationship with the creator. And that being the case, then what has God given us as helps along the way? Well, of course, he's given us his very self. He's given us our Lord Jesus and his passion, death, and resurrection for our salvation. But he's also given us the Holy Spirit, which is also God himself, right? The Holy Spirit who abides within us through baptism and is strengthened within us in confirmation. But he's also given us the gift of one another. We as the church, as the people of God, we are the mystical body of Christ. And that's drawn out in the first reading this Sunday, which is the great story from Exodus chapter 17, which is where Israel is fighting against Amalek, right? And this is where Moses climbs up to the top of the hill and he holds his arms up. And whenever he holds his arms up, then Israel is getting the better of the fight. And whenever he gets tired and lets them drop, then they get overwhelmed. But then what does he do? He relies on Aaron and Hur, who support his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that they remain steady until sunset. So can we not rely on one another and help each other to persevere? I think that's the big gift of the combination of the Old Testament reading and the gospel today. Can we help one another to persevere? Do we offer another, rather than, you know, make sport of somebody when they stumble and fall, or kind of smugly think, oh, yeah, well, I'm better than that. By the way, stay tuned for next week because that's coming up for us too. Do we launch into this comparison against the other? Are we nudged towards competition? And do we say, all right, this is I'm better than this person, therefore I'm winning, I'm more holy. Well, if that phrase ever enters your mind, I'm more holy than that person, you're already losing the battle. I'm sorry, friends, that's just the way it is. Or are we in this place where we are called, we are responding to the call to help one another persevere, to offer the hand up when someone stumbles and falls, to pray for their repentance, but they're coming back into the full graces of God? Do we assist one another to persevere in the faith? That's the question for today. And with that, I will transition into what we have going on today here at the Rediscover Hour. We've got a great show in store for you today. First of all, we have Bill Dill and Sophia DeBoer who are with us to talk about March for Life. I think you'll enjoy their interview quite a bit. A little bit later on, we'll have Father Marcus Millis with us. He's going to talk to us about Jean de Brebeuf and Isaac Jogues, who are their feast day is coming up as well on the 19th. And then also we've got a little bit later on, I was at the one of the prayer and listening events for the Archdiocesan Synod, and we got some man on the street interviews that'll come up near a little bit later on in the show. So we'd like to play that for you just to get some people's response for what happened at this particular listening event for the Archdiocesan Synod. So that's what's coming up today on the Rediscover Hour. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show. Offer the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so joining me now in studio, we have Sophia DeBoer, who's starting her third year as pro-life youth ambassador at the Church of St. Paul. She did a pro-life poster for the Anoka County Fair, and it won Reserve Champion, was presented at the State Fair in 2018, and her pro-life group has received the JP2 Champions for Life Award. And along with Sophia, we also have Bill Dill, who's the Marriage Preparation and Youth Ministry Events Coordinator in the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Sophia, good morning. Good to see you. And Bill, hello to you too.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yeah, good to see you both here. And we are going to be talking March for Life. But Sophia, I got a question for you here first. This poster, you just entered it into the Anoka County Fair.
Yes, I entered it through 4-H.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun making it because it was about our pro-life group that I'm a part of. And I basically just did what we did our first year. It was just a few of us our first year. It's like five or six girls in there. Because it was just basically a bunch of our friends in it. So it wasn't very big, but it was a lot of fun making it.
Okay. So it strikes me as something interesting because the Anoka County Fair and 4-H wouldn't necessarily be explicitly Catholic, explicitly religious, or explicitly pro-life. This was, not only was it received, but it actually won reserve champion. Is that right?
Yes.
How did you feel when it won reserve champion?
I was super excited when it won reserve champion because I found out when I was actually at a friend's house, because the person who won the grand champion and was eligible to go to the state fair decided to take a different project. So that I was able to take mine.
To the state fair?
Yes.
Yeah. And how did it do there?
It actually did pretty well.
Okay. All right. Good. Wow. Well, I have yet to offer anything at the Minnesota State Fair. I'm not very creative anyway, so I don't know that anything would ever come through for me at the Minnesota State Fair. But congratulations to you on that. That's quite an achievement for your youth, if I may say so. What grade are you in?
I'm in 8th grade.
So you're pausing because you're homeschooled, as
yes,
I understand. Right,
I'm
okay.
Homeschooled.
Sometimes it's hard to figure that out. Hey, let me just ask you this. I know you're never supposed to ask a lady her age, but how old are you, Sophia?
I'll be 14 on Sunday.
Okay, 14. Oh, well, very nice. Happy birthday. And if listeners, if you are listening on Sunday, then say a special birthday prayer for Sophia. All right. All right, so that being the case, let's talk a little bit about March for Life. So, Bill, I'll fire this first question at you.
Sure.
How does the Archdiocese participate in the March for Life locally, here in the local area, and nationally?
Sure. Locally, we have a prayer service for life before the local march here. And there's lots of prayer that goes into that and other events around that. And then we've been bringing a group to D.C. for the last 8 years. And it's great because it's the youth.
Mm-hmm.
They get to go to this. We can't open it to everybody, but the youth are enthusiastic and on board and ready to go to D.C.
All right. And Sophia, have you participated in that? Have you gone to D.C.?
Yes, I have.
Okay. When was that?
That was last year.
Okay. And in January, yeah?
Yep.
Wow. Was it cold?
Actually, it wasn't really cold. It was more really cold coming back.
Oh, okay. All right. But you were outside for a long time, weren't you?
We were.
Okay. How big of a group goes usually? How many were in your group, Sophia?
Well, we had 4 buses.
Wow, really?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. How many, Bill, how many is that? How many students usually go?
We have about 200 that usually go, some years more, some years less. What's great about Sophia's group, as you said, there's about 5 of them the first time they came, and they actually came with a different parish. And then last year was the first year that St. Paul's came on their own.
Wow.
Sophia, how many were there from St. Paul's last year?
I think there's about maybe 15, 20, maybe more people from St. Paul's.
Wow.
St. Paul's, yeah.
All of them around your age, teenagers?
Yeah, high schoolers.
High schoolers, yeah. Wow.
And it's great because it's a group of friends that want to do good stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
As you think of other friends may not be doing good stuff together.
Well.
Sophia and her friends are living their life for life.
Right.
Sophia, do you know how many are going from St. Paul's this year?
No, I don't know yet.
Well, fair enough.
Rumor has it that it's going to be almost a bus full.
Really? Already? Yeah. And it's October.
Right. I mean, sign up is in October.
Yeah.
We have to have advanced plans for this.
Well, of course, I would imagine. So,
and, So, yeah, the rumor has it from St. Paul's, they're going to bring almost a bus load this year.
Right. So, some of the information. So, the pilgrimage for the March for Life is January 21st to 26th is what I see here in the information they brought with us. And this is open to any youth. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, it's for high school students and their families. And we recognize that it's really great to have whole families come together. So we've had multiple families, I think 5 or 6 families each year for the last couple of years that have come. But in order to be eligible, the families have to have somebody in high school.
Okay.
That's kind of the caveat.
That's the way it goes.
And the misleading part about this is that it says March for Life, and it is called the March for Life. But it's so much more than that, Patrick.
Okay.
The March for Life is one day, and it's an amazing event, which I can let Sophia talk to. But it's more than that, because it's a trip out there and a trip back, and the whole thing is really a culture of life that we live for a week. Does that make sense, Sophia?
Yes.
Maybe you can give an example of how that's true.
Yeah. What occurs other than just the march itself? What did you out in D.C.?
The day before the actual march, we went and just kind of walked around the National Mall just to kind of see the other sites. We also went to the Holocaust Museum.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
It was very interesting to learn all that stuff, but it was also very sad.
Mm-hmm. What's the juxtaposition, I wonder? I mean, I can just only imagine between the Holocaust Museum and Marching for Life. There's some connection there, isn't there?
Yes, there is, because for us right now, we actually have our own Holocaust with the babies.
Mm. Yeah.
The propaganda, the lines, the story. We make it close to a mandatory event every year for us all to go to the Holocaust Museum.
Yeah.
Because the incredible tie-in to that. We also talk a lot about, we go to the Abraham Lincoln Memorial and talk about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And all these are offenses against life that have so many similar components. We have to remember the history. And we can learn a lot from that on going forward and how to move on from this.
Without a doubt, right. Okay, so you went to the Holocaust Museum. Where are you sleeping at nights? Where did you sleep?
We actually slept at a hotel.
Oh, nice.
Just a few miles away.
Well, that's good. I was waiting for like the church gym floor or something like that.
Oh,
that...
Patrick, I miss those days. When we first started this trip, we stayed on gym floors.
Yeah.
And the pilgrimage is an important aspect of this. And it was easier to feel like you're on a pilgrimage when you're on a gym floor.
Mm-hmm.
But the practicality of it in terms of showers and other practical aspects of it has made that we've had to move on to hotels. And so we have to work double as hard to make it sure it's not a vacation. It's not a tour trip at all. It's really a pilgrimage.
Right.
And we work hard for that in a lot of ways. Every day begins and ends with prayer. We have the sacraments. We have adoration. We have confession. We have priests that are always there. Hearing confession for us. In the free time, the kids have time to go to confession and adoration that's available all the time.
Yeah.
So it is truly a pilgrimage.
It's important, right.
And there's always sacrifice involved as well. You just never know where the sacrifice is going to come in.
Right, right, exactly. So, Sophia, if I were to ask you one favorite memory, I'm not asking for your favorite memory because just to narrow it down to one, I can only imagine, but one moment that has stuck with you since you went last January.
Well, for me, it was as you're walking up the Capitol Hill and you turn around, you can just see the line going around the corner and it just never ends. And it just is very hope-inspiring that our generation is going to overturn Roe versus Wade and that we're the pro-life generation.
Amen. Yeah. May it be so. Yeah.
It's an ocean of people when you look back and see. And it is mostly young people.
Mm. Which is what a tremendous gift. I mean, considering that, when the youth get behind something like this, there's something that, at least speaking as a middle-aged man, it really sets my heart on fire to know that some people your age, Sophia, that they're doing just that, that they're standing up for these babies. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. So, if students want to get involved either here locally, if youth want to get involved here locally, or if they're interested in the pilgrimage, where can they go, Bill? How do they find out more?
Sure. The best place to go is to your parish, to whoever is coordinating youth ministry at the parish or whoever the Respect Life group is. Many, many parishes across the diocese attend with us. We only invite groups, and it's important because of the atmosphere of the event. It's a culture, again, and we enter into it together, and then when we come home, we want to share this experience. In fact, on the way home, on the bus rides, we talk about, okay, so what? This wasn't just a nice trip. This wasn't just an eye-opening moment. It's a transformative trip for many, many people. What's going to be different in our life, both personally and as a group? Mm-hmm. And we share this experience as a group, and then it many great things have come out of it. Many pro-life groups at public and Catholic schools have come out of it. They go back and they live the culture of life together.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sophia, I'm gonna ask you to promote this pilgrimage for everyone your age, all the high schoolers, all the teenagers who are out there. All right, so what would you say to somebody who is thinking, I might want to go, but I'm not really sure? How would you encourage them to go?
I would probably encourage them to go by saying, it is a lot of fun. You get to meet new friends. You get to get together with old friends as well. And it's actually really cheap, too, because you get to go to the SFLA conference, the national one. You get bus transportation, hotel, and most of your meals paid, and also your parish can fundraise, but it all costs about $490.
Oh.
Other than that, you can always fundraise to lower down the price, but other than that, that's like the cheapest price.
Yeah, $490. Is that still the price tag?
It is.
Okay,
it
wow.
Is. Yeah. Sophia, can you tell us what the SFLA conference is?
Yeah.
So what you do is you base, it's like where everyone gets together and they just have a bunch of different talks going around, and you, and it's your choice to go which one you want to go to. And you also have lunch. They also have vendor tables where you get to go around and just go shop, and you just get a bunch of T-shirts, and it's just a lot of fun, too.
Okay, so SFLA is Students for Life?
Students for Life America.
America, America. Okay, there we go.
It's
all right.
It's a great group that does really great work, and we have Maddie Schulte here locally who works for him, who does great work for him. It's the group is really, it's young, it's inspiring, and it's doing great, great work.
So it sounds like if you want to buy a T-shirt or something like that from SFLA, you might have to bring a little extra money. But it sounds like with the $490, that pretty much takes care of everything that you need when you're there, yeah?
Except for the meals on the way out there and back.
Okay.
And one meal when we're out there.
Okay.
And I should add, we talked about how to participate. Families are welcome to come. In fact, I had a call this year. A family counts as a group. If a family wants to come, they just have to know that it is geared toward high school students. Mm-hmm. So material, topic sensitivity will be high school level.
Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, this is sign-up time now, right? People are signing up right now. Where can they go again? What's the website? Where can they find out more?
Sure.
How do they contact you? You said go to your parish first, right?
Sure.
Which makes sense. But go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, all the information's online, archspm.org, archspm.org, March for Life. Information is there for group leaders. Information is there on the itinerary, the cost. Everything is there.
All right. Sophia, this is an early birthday present for you, but I'm gonna pitch you a tough question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here it comes. So reflecting on your time on the pilgrimage last year, what's a way that God worked in your life as a result of you going on that pilgrimage?
I think probably being able to connect with a bunch of the other high schoolers there, and also just being able to actually go and just see how many people actually show up.
That was an encouragement to your faith,
yes.
Personally? Wow. Okay. Very good. Very good. Oh, and one other question we did, I just wanted to throw out there, because oftentimes when we see, if we see any coverage of this event, we see basically, you know, maybe one picture of the march, but one picture of protesters. Bill, are there any protesters out there during the march?
We almost see none. In fact, some years we don't see any at all. The exception is at the Supreme Court, there's sometimes a group there. But the majority, every person there except for a handful, is joyful, cheerful, pro-life people.
And we're talking hundreds of thousands. Literally.
Hundreds of thousands.
Literally, yeah.
This year it's exciting. Bishop Cousins is coming with us.
Oh, all right.
Right, and he is a pro-life hero. If you know anything about Bishop Cousins, he is an absolute pro-life hero, has been for years, and he'll be speaking this year at the conference as well.
Wonderful.
The gift is he tells us stories and stories about things he's done in his past. That are really inspiring.
All right. Well, both of you have been inspiring this morning, and I hope that there's lots of young people and their families who sign up to go on the pilgrimage. Looking forward to hearing all about it. Maybe come back and tell us about it once it's taken place. All right. Sophia DeBoer.
Happy to.
Bill Dill, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Great, Patrick.
All right. We are going to take our first break, and stick with us. We've got much more to come. We got Father Marcus Millis, and we got reports from the prayer and listening event from the Archdiocesan Synod.
As you age, estate planning becomes more important. Even if you're in your golden years, or almost there, it's not too late to get a quick snapshot of your estate from your local Catholic United financial rep. First off, do you have a written plan? On paper? Most don't. Are you organized as you should be? Many would say no. In fact, in a recent survey, almost half the respondents said their estate plan was out of date. Worse yet, non-existent. Do you fall into that category? Not good if you're 50 or older. Don't make the mistake of not having a plan. Call your local Catholic United rep. They'll be happy to help you get control with a quick snapshot of where you're at and show you what to consider and what to avoid when planning. The snapshot is quick and easy. Get back on track by contacting Jim Suick, 612-788-8051, or visit us on the web at catholicunitedfinancial.org. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Boston City.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Joining me now in studio, Father Marcus Millis is the hospital chaplain for Hennepin County Medical Center. I can't imagine that keeps you busy at all, Father. And he is also the associate of Holy Family in St. Louis Park. It says here, Father, you enjoy mountain biking, camping, and reading biographies of saints. Are all those things true?
All of them are true, and I enjoy them very much.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us. And we are here to talk a little bit about these saints that we're celebrating on the 19th, John de Brébeuf and Isaac Jogues. I'm probably mispronouncing them. Am I getting it close anyway?
Yes, as far as I know.
Okay. Well, fair enough. All right. That's very good. So these are saints that, I mean, they come up every year. I'm a convert to the Catholic faith, so they were new to me when we started going through. And October is just a month, well, all months really, but October is really chock full of some really powerful saints. But that being the case, I was unfamiliar with these. So why don't you just give us a general introduction to who these saints are?
Yeah, the one saint that I really have followed of the North American martyrs is Father Isaac Jogues.
Okay.
And when I was in seminary, John Rutten, who's now a priest of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, he said, "Have you ever read the book Saint Among Savages?" And it's about the life of Isaac Jogues. And he was born in France, and he was the fifth of nine children. And he was born in around this early 1600s, I think 1607. And he was homeschooled.
Okay.
Until the age of 10, and then entered Jesuit school. And it was there that he was inspired by the Jesuit priests, and he heard a call to the priesthood, and in particular to the life of mission.
Hmm.
And so he took that up, and he was ordained. And right after he was ordained, he was sent to the missions in New France, Montreal, Quebec, this area.
I'm just just to pause there. I'm already. I mean, my imagination as I'm trying to enter into this whole. So you get ordained, and now you're off into the missions, and I mean, so far away from home into a land that is quite different than his native France. I would imagine. I mean,
yeah.
Just.
And
yeah.
I think that's what attracted him.
Yeah. Okay.
Was the adventure, and you know, in the book, you hear about him celebrating Mass on the ship on the way over, and hearing people's confessions, and then getting to New France, and just the joy, the excitement of this new land, this new opportunity to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and from that point onward, you see his life changes, and he really leaves his comfort zone to bring the gospel to the native people, especially the Huron and the Iroquois.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what you discover as you read the book is that he's a human being.
Yeah.
An ordinary man, but he followed Christ in an extraordinary way. So you hear of, you know, him falling asleep in holy hour. and then having this great vision, all these
things. Oh, that never happens.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, that's a very important point. And in fact, at the top of the show, I was getting a little fervorino about perseverance being a necessary part, component of faith. But oftentimes we have to rely on others for that. So, so we can pray and not grow weary. But with that, I think it's a very important point because, you know, sometimes the saints seem a little. You know, they go everywhere levitating and nothing. They're impervious to every kind of pain and suffering. But that's so far from the truth, especially when you look at the life of our Lord and then how other saints have suffered and sacrificed right along with him. So any other examples of how he was an ordinary man, Isaac Jogues?
Yeah, I think one of the things John de Brébeuf, mm-hmm. you know, who's kind of a mentor, told him, you have to keep your heart guarded when you're going through the missions and you're going through the houses of the Huron. There's temptations, and so you need to guard your heart. And just that, you know, as a priest, I'm a man, and mm-hmm. so there's that necessity of guarding one's heart. So you see him being told that, and so it's that realization. Okay, that's necessary.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, you know. John de Brébeuf at one point, you know, encourages them to be faithful to the gospel and that they're called to this extraordinary mission. And it's around the campfire. that he's saying this, and you can just imagine how much that brought him life to have someone leading him and helping him discover the beauty of the gospel and ministering to those who don't know the gospel of Jesus. So.
And any indication given in the book as to what the response actually was? That, I mean, did they see much fruit, or was it one of those things that they were going around planting seeds and the seeds that wouldn't spring up and flower and blossom until much later?
Yeah, they didn't see much fruit at first, and they were persecuted. You know, they at certain times, you know, obviously one of the most gripping tales of this is his finger was gnawed off, his fingernail, and then they chopped off his thumb. And it was because, you know, there was a misinterpretation of something he did. He saw one of his fellow Frenchmen and, you know, hugged him when he saw him, because it was kind of like this reunion, and they saw it as, oh, this man who he's hugging is our enemy. And so they began to beat him, and they, you know, took his finger. And so we see there was a price to be paid. That's one account. Then another moving account is he discovered that he needed to pray to remain faithful, and he would go to the woods to pray. And he was under the constant watch of the Huron because they're still unsure of him. They did take him along, but they were still like, who is this guy? So they're constantly watching him. And at one point he's praying in the woods, and he makes this cross on the tree, and they see that, and they become enraged, and they beat him up. They just start beating him up. And so, but then as he realized that, you know, they were reacting against him, but didn't fully understand him. So he didn't take that personally. And I think that's the biggest thing is, yes, he didn't see much fruit in terms of conversion around him right away, but his heart was filled with joy. And that second story, he got to a point, you know, where at first he was afraid to pray in public, say the name of Jesus, these things. He would preach and everything, but there were certain times where he was afraid. And at that moment, he said, you know, I'm going to proclaim Jesus Christ. So, he didn't see much fruit at the time, but you see little hints of it, and people being converted and being baptized and things like that.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I think that's encouraging for all of us who are striving to live out the gospel and share it with others and that sort of thing, that we might not see, especially within our own families and places like that, we might not see a tremendous amount of fruit coming, but to be able to maintain that joy and to maintain that hope and expectation of the Lord's work in and around the people that we know and love. So I'm already reading into it, Father, obviously, but just wondering, what do these saints mean for us today? I mean, what kind of, I'm thinking of all kinds of ways of inspirations we can take from them, but what's on your heart?
Yeah, I think the word we've been hearing is missionary disciples. We're called to be missionary disciples.
Right.
And the world around us is, in some ways, becoming more pagan. And so we need to have the courage to proclaim the gospel. Mm. So I think, you know, that's the call for everyone. But as I was coming over here, too, we also need missionary apostles. So what you see with Isaac Jogues was he was living in community, and he was built up in the faith by his brothers to go out into the mission. And so I think that's the call for, you know, me as a priest. I can't do it alone. And he had this, all these brothers who were with him, and they encouraged each other to continue to live the truth of the gospel for the sake of others. Mm-hmm. And that is a beautiful thing. And one thing that really struck me as I was rereading the book, at one point he says, you know, that he's espoused to the Iroquois people. And he poured out a little blood, and he went back to France. You know, after a time in the mission, he went back to France, and he actually met the queen.
Oh, wow.
And the queen, you know, saw his hands, and she was inspired by his example. And as I read that, even in seminary, I thought to myself, I would have stayed in France.
Yeah.
I, you know, lived the heroic life, but he went back. And so he said, I'm espoused to the people, and I want God to complete the sacrifice that has begun. So he wanted to give himself completely on behalf of his bride, the church, and to this particular people, the Iroquois and the Huron. And I think that's the call for the priesthood that we need as well. So we need missionary disciples, but also missionary apostles. And that's what it means to be an apostle, to be sent out.
So just thinking about that in terms of being espoused, I like that analogy. What does that mean, do you think, for the laity? Who are we espoused to? Who are we so called to share the gospel with that it's the foundation of our life's calling?
First and foremost, family. First and foremost, Jesus Christ, you know, marriage or the single life, all of those find their life in Jesus Christ. So first and foremost, spouse to Christ. And then in that particular call, you know, in marriage, it's the wife wife to husband, and then to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things, a lot of times where parents have to get outside their comfort zone and they have to face difficulties in raising their children in the faith and the culture in which we live. And that requires the giving of one's whole life and shedding blood, you know, in a different way.
Sure.
It's definitely tied. And so those two go together, the priesthood and the laity.
Yeah, so. Love it. Well, Father, I wish we had like another 20 minutes to talk about this because I think there's some really important concepts there. But for now, we'll leave it to our listeners to continue finding out. What's the name of the book again?
Saint Among Savages.
Saint Among Savages, okay. And so that should be available in and around. So take a look for that if you're interested in learning more. But certainly celebrate the Feast of Saint Isaac Jogues and John de Brébeuf and Companions as we are doing that. Father, before we let you go, could you give us, all of our listeners, an on-air blessing, please?
Yes. And this is a blessing from the ordination that was ordained on the Feast of the Visitation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We remember those words of Mary in the Gospel. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. May all who are listening rejoice in the Lord's love for them and the call he's placed on their heart to be missionary disciples. And may Almighty God bless you all this day, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Father Marcus Millis, thank you so much for joining us
on
the Rediscover Hour.
It was a privilege.
All right. We're going to go to our next break. When we come back, we've got, again, some more interviews from the prayer and listening event for the Archdiocesan Synod. So stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app. Or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
I'm living a long, long life. I will not let you go. Taking a long, long time to get here. It could be a long.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, who's on maternity leave right now. So congratulations to her and her husband, Brad, and the new little one, Wilhelmina Grace. Please pray for all of them. And also Paul Sonic, our technical producer, who is not on maternity leave, and coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. they are there for life. Okay, so I was just recently at one of these prayer and listening events for the Archdiocesan Synod. I hope you've been aware of that going on. If not, it's very important that you take a look at that on the Archdiocesan website and look at some of the upcoming prayer and listening events that are still many, many to come. But I was there and wanted to hear the response of some of the people who attended. So, as Paul has the audio queued up, let's listen in on that.
I am here at the third prayer and listening event for the Archdiocesan Synod at Guardian Angels in Oakdale. It's October the 11th, and it is cold, and we've even seen some snow in the air. Nonetheless, about half an hour before the event is set to begin, Archbishop Hebda is here, and he is outside greeting people as they come in. So he seems impervious to the cold, but a good number of people are starting to roll in. Let's hear a little bit from some of the people who attend. Being the third one, Archbishop, how do you think they're going so far?
Well, this one seems to be going really well. There's a great crowd, people from all over the Archdiocese, especially from the east suburbs, and it seems like people are really already engaged. They came ready to work this evening, to pray and to work, and I'm very hopeful that the evening will go well. Certainly, just the high level of commitment is a constant theme. The people that have come up to speak with me are talking about inclusion. That's certainly an important element for them. And also how it is that we're able to bring our faith out to the peripheries. Well, we're so much counting on Pope Francis's great guidance here, who tells us that that's what really guarantees that it be synodal, is that the Holy Spirit would be present. And I found that in each of the three events that we've sponsored so far, that the prayer is just so fruitful. I've obviously heard everything three times, and I'm able to engage in it each of the times and have a little bit of a different experience. So I'm hoping that it's equally as fruitful for those who've gathered this evening.
My name is Randall McClure. I'm at Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul. I'm interested in the growth of the church and the renewal of it. It's a wonderful process. I was skeptical, but I'm very excited and energized by it. I think the session tonight started so prayerfully and so simply. There really was a sense of the Holy Spirit being with us and leading us. And it's a beautiful process. It's a peaceful process. It's a loving process as we communicate together our concerns and our ideas and our hopes. One thing I noticed coming in was the grayness of the crowd, including myself, and wondering, you know, what we can do to gather and draw and love our youth and young adults to come join us along. And one of the things that Archbishop Hebda shared, I think it was from Lumen Gentium, but there was a line in there about as the Holy Spirit works in us and builds up the church, the Holy Spirit makes us grow younger. And that struck me with the juxtaposition of our maturity here in this group, by and large. And it occurred to me that each of us needs to be more deeply converted to the Lord and to encounter Him in reality. And that will give us new life. That will let us be born again. That will give us youth in the Spirit and joy in the Spirit. And those are the things that will help us attract back our young people. It's up to us to embrace that, to grow in holiness, in joy, and in peace.
A Joan from Annunciation in Minneapolis.
Anna from Annunciation in Minneapolis.
Well, I'm on my synod committee at my church, so it was one of the listening committees I wanted to come to.
I just wanted to find out what it was all about and see if there was anything that I could do to help the process go forward.
I think the prayer that the survivor said was just very touching, very healing, especially coming from a survivor and him talking about forgiveness. I thought that was really, really appropriate. A lot of good comments from people. I was very impressed with the numbers of people that showed up and just a packed house here tonight.
I think about the Eucharist and how many Catholics don't fully believe that that is Jesus Christ. And so I feel like if we could do something about that, that would be really important for me going forward, to have more Catholics realize that that is Jesus that you are receiving.
I'm Debbie Keller from the Church of St. Pius X in White Bear Lake. I'm actually on the Synod Executive Team as a member. So as a part of that, I'm working some of these events. I'm for this evening, I'm the hospitality co-captain. It, you know, it's really an empowering experience for me personally. The thing that is kind of a surprise is that I've been a part of the process of the planning, praying about it, reading, editing, and when I hear what is being spoken that I've, you know, have a familiarity with ahead of time, there's something that happens within my heart. I'm receiving it in a way that I wasn't expecting to. It's beautiful. I see a church that is alive, that is fruitful, that there's a seeking quality to the people who come. We're all, I think, thirsting for goodness and grace to come back into our church. We've been through a tumultuous time, and I think there's that hunger within each of us that we want, we want what God wants for us. We want the Holy Spirit to be with us. You know, and I think this is going to bring that Holy Spirit to life. The Holy Spirit's always been with us, but sometimes we forget that, or sometimes we can't see that. And I think this is causing that vision to become more visible.
Lucy Johnson, St. Francis de Sales in St. Paul.
And Jeff Johnson from St. Francis de Sales in St. Paul.
Well, I think there was a curiosity, and we are also ambassadors with our parish, and so we wanted to see what this is so we can encourage more to come and kind of like test the waters first.
Same thing, and I was going to come to put out a challenge to the people when I do talk to them, because I plan on talking to the parishioners, and offer them $5 if they found this was 3 hours of time they'll never get back. You know?
I like the format of the prayer first, and I really think that set a scene. I found a personal epiphany in our small group discussion that kind of connected dots of something, and I think that had to be a Holy Spirit moment of my reflection.
Yeah, and I also like the format, and I like the small group, but the prayer is essential, I think, in the program. It just brings everybody together and gets you into a sense of not just thinking about yourself, thinking about other people.
Gail, St. John Vianney.
I'm Andrea, and I also go to St. John Vianney.
I'm Ellen, and I'm also St. John Vianney.
We wanted to come to one of the first listening sessions so we knew what was going on right away.
I like that we got to share in groups and that we got to talk to Archbishop Hebda, and I thought that was really cool.
You got to talk to him directly, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I was so nervous, though.
Well, I thought you did a good job. How old are you, by the way?
I am 13.
Okay, and how old are you?
I am 10.
Wonderful. Do you think you're the youngest people here tonight?
Yes.
Well, good. I'm so glad that you came. Okay, how about you? Something that stood out to you tonight, something that was very meaningful to you that you think you'll remember?
Sharing with people we don't know.
Oh, I thought it was very welcoming, and I think it's a really good way for the communities all to get together to enrich our Catholic faith and bring everybody back home again.
Marie, I go to Sacred Heart in East St. Paul. I had something to say, and they listen. I think the laity has got a lot of input that the bishop needs to hear. This is our chance to be heard. I am very proud of how Archbishop Hebda is running this archdiocese. I think he's doing a fantastic job and doing the leading for all the other bishops.
My name is Patty Watkins, and I'm a parishioner at St. Ambrose of Woodbury. Well, I'm on the executive committee, and so I'm going to a number of these, but it's a beautiful experience, and every one I've been able to enter in, and I just find everyone to be so rewarding. It's just, I love them. They're going very, very well. I just feel like the prayer just sets it up so beautifully. The hour that we spend in prayer just, I think, makes everyone so positive when they get into the small group discussions, and it gives them an opportunity to just really share how they feel the church can grow in the future and how we can have a better church in the next 5 to 10 years. Everybody loves their Catholic Church. They love it. They're committed to it, and they just want to be the best for everyone. And they love it so much that their whole hope is right that the church just continues to grow and grow and to be a place where people find the Lord and that they grow in closer relationships. So I would say, really, that's what I'm seeing more of than individual themes. It's just that the love that the people have for the Catholic Church and how committed they are to their faith.
Denny Farrell, Guardian Angels Church.
So you're the host tonight?
We were the host, and I'm the parish administrator, so had a role in making sure everything went smoothly. I think it was tremendous. I like the process of listening. Very impressed that Archbishop Pebda is doing this along with Bishop Cousins and being able to hear the voices of the people. Some negative, some positive, but he has to hear it. Because there were so many good comments that were made during the time at the end when people could hear them and no one was shut off, it was good that they allowed people to free themselves. And I think a lot of people went home feeling a lot better about themselves because they got it off their chest, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of this whole process. I think it's an excellent process, and I'm only hoping that the crowds get bigger. We're only the third one, and there's going to be, 17 more, and I hope the word gets out that this is an opportunity to share.
All right, so there we go. There's some reflections from people who attended this was the third Archdiocesan Prayer and Listening Session series for the Synod that's coming up. And I want to encourage you, there was one more since then and this time of recording, but I want to encourage you to really seriously go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org, and just type into the search bar there, prayer listening, and you will come up with a link that talks about the prayer and listening events that are going on. There are two coming up very soon. In case you're listening on Friday, there's one on Saturday, October 26th. Oh, actually, we got a little time before that one. So October 26th is the next one, 9 a.m. to noon at St. Peter and Forest Lake. And then again, Tuesday, October 29th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Divine Mercy in Faribault. That one will be ASL interpreted. And there's a number of others. As I'm scrolling through the website here, there's some in January. We take December off, but January, February, March. Yep, we've got them going all the way into March. So, yep, take a look. Please do attend one of these. You will get an opportunity to share what's on your heart. One of the things that I was really impressed by, I know a number of people said it, but yes, the whole evening was just enveloped in prayer. There was a spirit of unity in and around the whole of the event. And even though people came from very different parishes that, quite frankly, have very different viewpoints on what's going well in the archdiocese and what needs addressing. And that's another thing that you will do. It's not just a place to come and, air your grievances. It's a place to come and legitimately and honestly, openly share about what's going well in the archdiocese so we can thank God for that, for all of his good work in and around us, and ways in which we think that there are things that need to be addressed, things that need, perhaps with, of course, the Lord's help, to be improved upon. So these are important times. These are the times, as I believe Marie put it, it's time. This is our shot. This is our shot to be heard in a very important way. So do take the time to look up when the next events are coming, and do take the time to actually go to these events. I think going all the way back to Randall's comments about the maturity of the crowd who was there, there were a fair amount of younger, but not as many as I would have hoped. So yes, especially I'm talking to you, youth, young adults, children are welcome at these. If they can sit and participate through the 3-hour sessions, then please do bring them along. Bring your youth along. Young adults, you definitely should be coming along and contributing to the church as well, contributing to the direction of the synod, which will indeed influence the direction of our local church here. So anyway, do go again, archspm.org, type in prayer and listening into the search bar and find a listening session that works for you. All right, we're going to go into our final break. And when we come back, Paul and I, as always, have other events as well that you can consider attending to deepen your faith in Jesus. Stay with us. Rediscover.
As you age, estate planning becomes more important. Even if you're in your golden years, or almost there, it's not too late to get a quick snapshot of your estate from your local Catholic United financial rep. First off, do you have a written plan? On paper? Most don't. Are you organized as you should be? Many would say no. In fact, in a recent survey, almost half the respondents said their estate plan was out of date, or worse yet, non-existent. Do you fall into that category? Not good if you're 50 or older. Don't make the mistake of not having a plan. Call your local Catholic United rep. They'll be happy to help you get control with a quick snapshot of where you're at and show you what to consider and what to avoid when planning. The snapshot is quick and easy. Get back on track by contacting Joe Johnston at 763-688-3466 or visit us on the web at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
So, Paul, I'm glad you're here to hold up my arms in the midst of the battle.
Who's going to hold up my
arms? Oh, that's a good point, Paul. I don't know. I'll pray for you, though.
Okay.
What do we got going on?
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. Risen Savior in Burnsville invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop Saturday, November 9th, 9 to 5. To register, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Here it is, folks. You are invited to the prayer and listening events hosted throughout the Archdiocese, which will provide the broadest opportunity for input from all Catholics in the Archdiocesan Synod process. These events will be part prayer and catechesis and part listening session. They are opportunities to discern together the pastoral concerns that may become topics of discussion or the pastoral priorities for the Synod. A full listing of dates, times, and locations can be found on the events page at archspm.org. The late October events are scheduled for Saturday, October 26th, 9 a.m. to noon at St. Peter in Forest Lake, and Tuesday, October 29th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Divine Mercy in Faribault.
The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites you to the St. John Paul II Champions for Life Awards Luncheon, presented by Archbishop Bernard Hebda, Thursday, October 31st, 11:30 to 1:30 at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota. Keynote speaker Alana Mertz will speak on discovering God's mercy through an unexpected pregnancy. Make your reservations online today. Cost is $40 per person or a table of eight for $280. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Join Father John Eckert in a four-week Bible study series on the apocalypse and kingship of Christ, starting Wednesdays, November 13th through December 11th in Hayden Hall on the lower level of the Cathedral of St. Paul. There will not be class on November 27th. That's the day before Thanksgiving, so no worries there. This series is particularly timely because it will coincide with the end of the liturgical year, which closes with the Feast of Christ the King, as well as the start of Advent, which focuses upon the apocalypse and return of Christ. The cost? A mere $20 per person. It includes lecture, materials, large group Q&A, and a snack. Register online by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Join the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office for its annual conference at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville, Saturday, November 16th and Sunday, November 17th. Keynote speaker Dr. Mary Healy, scripture scholar who teaches at Sacred Heart Seminary, Detroit. She speaks on healing, evangelization, scripture, and the spiritual life. Theme is Resurrection Power, proclaiming the gospel with signs and wonders. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or go to ccro-msp.org. Costs $75 per person. For seniors, it's $50, $25 for students, religious, and ordained.
All right, and Dr. Mary Healy is actually going to be on the next Rediscover Hour. She is speaking at the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office Conference, and she'll be with us next time on the Rediscover Hour. Also, Anne Marie Hansen, President and CEO of Gianna Homes on the End of Life and Memory Care. And we are celebrating the Feast of St. Jude with Father Chad Van Hoos, pastor of St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi, where Archbishop Hebda will soon be installing a first-class relic of the Apostle. That's all coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org.
and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.